On the phone with me today is Maria Brower of Harmony House. Maria, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, you're welcome.
To start off, could you maybe just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the work you do at Harmony House?
Yes, my background is a nurse. I'm an RN, and previously I worked at Central Interior Native Health, where we dealt with very marginalized people, and in that capacity, I helped build up a great perinatal program. I did notice that a lot of the people, their children were apprehended, and or they had been apprehended, and the moms wanted them back. So it was at that time that I started having conversations, meetings in the community for 10 years long, and anyone that had to do anything with maternal health did come. So in the end, Phoenix Transition House, Vancouver Transition Society, offered me a house. It's so, this little house, Harmony House, is, in the street, same street as the Phoenix Transition House shelter. So from that point on, we opened in 2017. It has 5 bedrooms, and we call it Harmony House after one of the ladies that I worked with, one of the patients that had died on an overdose. And so, yeah, so anyways, that's a little bit the genesis of how it came to be a supportive community, someone offering me a house, and then also received help from the Vancouver Foundation for funding for 3 years, and plus some from Northern Health. Harmony House is specifically for women who are struggling with mental health and or addiction, who are either pregnant or newly parenting, meaning just have given birth. And we try to help these women basically help them to recover by giving them a lot of support. We have a lot of workshops. We have counseling. We have a lot of groups such as Mothers for Recovery, AA, NA. And mostly we're just there for them to listen to their stories and help them overcome trauma, because I would say 100% of the women that enter our home have had quite tremendous tragic youth. And so it is really a house for healing. And wonderfully, if, whatever their past was, but they're willing to move through all of that and do it, they can keep their babies. And so the ministry, is our biggest supplier, basically. They say, oh, Maria, we have such and so, and says a baby, do you have room for her? And we only have 5 bedrooms, so it is very hard to come in. We do not transition out very fast because it has to be successful. That's the criteria, that people feel safe enough to go out. And so we have a long waiting list. So people that would need it could have their babies, can't, because we have such a big waiting list because of the concept of this Harmony House. So that's basically, the background of it and where we're at today. 4 years in, we have our 100th person, we just admitted yesterday, and we look forward to building a bigger Harmony House so that we can at least house more people. And we're not only building a new Harmony House, but we're also building at the same time a second stage housing. So there will be, you know, units for second stage housing on the second floor. So all of Harmony House will be on the main floor. And instead of the 5 bedrooms, we will have 12 bedrooms.
That's an increase in capacity. I'm sure that will be welcome in the community. Could you explain just a little bit what the second stage housing is?
Yes, the second stage housing is merely to help the women sustain their sobriety, have some mental and physical support, because we've learned that some women, when they go from Harmony House, they fall off the wagon. And it's a small percentage, because we have actually a 90% success rate. But I believe that if they had more support, they can, which means be connected to Harmony House, with the support they needed. So they are going to be independent in those units. They have a separate entrance, but they can be, you know, followed up with us. They can still attend the groups and whatever they need. So it wouldn't be the intensity approach that we need when we're in Harmony House, where we're, you know, 24/7 right there with them. But it's independent living with some support provided from Harmony House. Mm-hmm. But they can only stay there for a year to a year and a half, because it is not permanent. You know, we have to look for permanent housing. Mm-hmm. And we believe that with that, you know, I think that the success rate will probably be 99%.
I'm interested to know, what are some of the needs of women, and particularly mothers and pregnant people, who are experiencing mental health and substance use struggles?
Well, if mental health, you know, addiction is mental health all by itself. So what they need a lot of kindness, for one thing. They need people to listen to their stories. They need counseling. And so we're a therapeutic center. So whatever we say or do, it is in mind. It's trauma-informed. It's, because a lot of the people have, for example, been physically abused or emotionally abused, and even sexually abused. So it is about healing. They need someone to be there to listen. Now, another thing that they need, if they have not had the proper parenting, you know, like it being, you know, raised in chaotic circumstances, then it's hard for them to know what to do with your child or children. Mm-hmm. You need the support to just have parenting skills. So we aim at social skills, and the social skills you can just learn by living communally, because the Harmony House is communally. And then we have a lot of parenting workshops. We have people, you know, people working with the mums and the children. I mean, we're right there in the living room. So parenting skills, and then life skills. So people do chores, people go shopping, we all go shopping together, people do cooking, prepare meal preparation, cooking, and so some of the workshops we do is on nutrition, so some of the workshops are about developmental, you know, age and stages of children and what is normal, and there's a lot going on.
And how do people's attitudes about women, maybe in particular, who use substances and have mental health struggles, impact their ability to provide care for their children and for themselves. What's the impact of that stigma, particularly maybe from healthcare workers, social service providers, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess you know, Canada, with its colonial role, you know, specifically has hurt the Aboriginal people very much. So we do have the majority of our women by far, like it's about 92-93% are Indigenous. And they have felt, you know, that they're second-class citizens. Definitely, there's just that. And then I think that although sometimes people are not even aware, there has been, I think, systemic racism. You know, these people have, you know, have been difficult at some points to care for. In an active addiction, you have that a lot of people, you know, you don't come in time, you know, you can't keep your appointments and stuff. And so often when the people didn't really have doctors, even though they might have had doctors in principle, but it never lined up. So hence that Central Integrative Health was open. And so the women, you know, and they are also a big referral center to Harmony House. So, yeah, there is the stigma. A lot of people also don't understand addictions. Like, they think that it's your fault when you're addicted. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so there has been systemic racism for sure. And it's... yeah, we are, you know, Western model, and some of the people say, well, I treat everyone the same, and then, you know, we say that's not good enough, because, you know, a lot of people will not be heard, because our Aboriginal people are a bit more storytellers, they're a bit longer, you know, they don't always have papers to show everything, and so there is, and that's what I've discovered, at, you know, living at Central or being at Central Integrative Health. There is stigma, you know, and for example, there's some opposition around this home at where we're going to have it. And people will say, well, all kinds of, you know, drug pushers will come and stuff like that. No, you know, the women become women that get voices. They, you know, they have low self-esteem, and this is what they can't, you know, they go out with it feeling very confident, and hence that it will also be that they could, you know, stand up more. Yes, I don't know, there's a, right now there is, I think on the internet, it's called Straight Up, And I haven't seen it yet, but that is, you know, a document online that shows that we still have systemic racism.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we do. We have interviewed people, you know, our clients, and said how their experience was, say, in the healthcare system, you know, coming in as people that have, you know, maybe use drugs and stuff, and they have, a lot of them have told their story that they didn't feel welcomed either, you know, in the hospitals or in the ER or wherever, and yet we put this, you know, we had a survey too at the same time for care providers, and they said, no, I don't treat them different. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely, you know, there's definitely a bit discrepancy still as how, you know, we deal with people who have addictions, maybe Aboriginal. And it's not often with intent. I have to say that. They're the loveliest people, but it still is, well, you know, there's a drug addict, and then sometimes you use just words that you can't... that you should not use. I've seen racism at work, in the hospital, being in an RN. I definitely have. And it is a hard concept because not understanding addictions really means that, you know, then you think that they had that full control over that, and that's the difference. They often don't, not unless they get help to, you know, with what's really underlying, which is the pain and hurt, emotional pain and hurt, that they've, you know, have begotten because of their youth.
Yeah, the intent might be good, but the impact is still the same on the person trying to access the service, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It definitely is. Yeah.
So Maria, I'm interested to know, are there other organizations doing similar work in Prince George right now? Either specifically targeting women with children or pregnant women, or any other services that are kind of doing that trauma-informed work?
Yeah, you know, we do work closely with Central Ontario Native Health. You know, it's a health, primary health care center that sees women who are struggling with mental health and or misuse, substance misuse. And there are other organizations that also provide supportive role. I think MCD itself has, you know, contract with sources, with access, and those with, yeah, and they are also, you know, we utilize them as well, that maybe when they go out in their own, that they have some support worker there that can come in the house and, you know, be there for them. So there's also the wraparound parenting group from Carriers to Canny Family Services that many, many of our women have gone to, and it's a bit of a hands-on program. They bring their children. We have the Aboriginal Infant Development Program. Again, lovely, lovely staff that pre-COVID always would come to do massage with the mums and the babies. Then we have also the IDP, the Infant Development Program, where you have people that really help, you know, with young children, massage as well, but also like really talking with the moms with how are things going, and the mom will, you know, talk about baby. And so those people have all, we're all connected with. We connected with enormous amount of people that are in the, you know, in this field and give a helping hand. So again, being supportive, being therapeutic, being encouraging. The other program we have under the Phoenix Transition Society, under which I fall, is the Peace Program. And so that's right beside us, early childhood educated person, very advanced in her knowledge about children, communication with children. And we have mums go there, so that's part of our groups. It's a parenting group, as well that she sees children one-to-one when they have experienced trauma in their own life, you know, witnessed violence. So it was formerly called Children Who Witness Abuse. So we have that program. We also have ourselves the program that we help people set up in their homes for the first month. I mean, we have garages full of donated furniture and things, and we try to, for you know, when we set people up, that at least they have also the basics of food, and that's us, that's Harmony House. So, do I miss anything? I don't want to miss anything. Aboriginal Infant Development Center also has parenting groups, but you know, this is all pre-COVID. You have to understand that this is for a year not being there. We are also connected with the medical world. There's doctors that, and bless their hearts too, that when people come here and they don't have a doctor, they are ready, you know, to take women in that who are pregnant, and they will see them for 6 weeks after their pregnancy, postpartum. Tikino 2 is an Aboriginal organization, and it comes with Métis organization that we've had contact with, that maybe fathers could also visit their babies, fathers who are struggling themselves, but they can visit their babies. So there is in this community enormous support for the concept of Harmony House and the concept of the women. And I think most, also the ministry, wants to, you know, they want the families to stay together, but they have a great emphasis on the child. While we at Harmony House, they can't be in Harmony House and not have your child. So, you know, because that's what we want. We want the bonding and the attachment to be there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but if you would phone some Aboriginal people that have gone through the hospital system or wherever, they will tell that they felt discriminated too, not always heard. And of course, there are all cultural differences, right? They would like normally their aunties and whoever all there. Sometimes that's lots, and we understand you can't have that many always in the, you know, delivery room. But that's, for example, a big difference in how, you know, Aboriginal people would like to have birth, because that's, you know, you have everyone there. And people want maybe ceremonies, and there's no way, because, you know, the alarm would go off in the hospitals. So we have accommodated that for that in the new design that, we're working on, that we will have a big ceremonial room so people can smudge. And even, before we start, so we start in a good way. Those are all things. We actually do that at Harmony House. And we also have elders that normally come. We have an elder, Lucy Duncan, who actually is officially our elder. And I ask her often for support. But again, because of COVID, she can't come. She used to be coming to AA and NA meetings and just, you know, link people a little bit up with the cultural things that are so lost, because a lot of our people, Indigenous, all right, but not know their culture. And so we have had in the past, pre-COVID, also big drum and singing groups, Aboriginal summon drinking groups. And I know that even the babies, you know, they dance, they swing on the beat of the drum. So we hope to get all these things back once we can move in 2022, the summer of 2022, this Harmony House should be opened. Mm-hmm. So, and then we hope to move in. That's right.
Yeah, so I wanted to follow up. You mentioned you have that Harmony House has a 90% success rate. I guess I'm wondering how is there an ongoing relationship that allows you to kind of follow up on what happens to folks?
Yes, we follow up. We follow up. So we have people on our, so we have an outreach program. So people go out to in the community when people are going independent. Of course, it's not as intensive. We also phone. They can phone forever. Our house, and they phone. We, you know, sometimes that's part of their exit plan, that we might come in or maybe once a week or once 14 days or once in 3 weeks. I mean, it goes lower and lower when people are good, but there is an outreach component to our program, and that is made only available because we are funded by, for extras, for increasing the quality of our program, by Women's Hospital in Vancouver, We're on the radar. They've seen our program, and that's what they want to see rolled out throughout the community of throughout the communities of BC. That's the model. So we actually have the model that women's hospital and doctors and nurses that, you know, can influence policy want to see. So we're right on the money, I guess.
Yeah,
100%. But that was informed by my own practice, right? Mm. Your own practice at Central Tier Native Health. What do the women need? What do we need? Well, we do need a hands up. And, you know, substance use is just a symptom. It's not the cause of anything. But, of course, once you have, you know, you are using, misusing substances, then a lot of things go wrong. And that's not in anyone's favor. So, yeah.
Is it ever difficult to maintain that relationship after people leave Harmony House? Or are most people pretty open to the kind of ongoing relationship?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most people are going. They come by even and then show their babies off. Like, you know, they're growing and, yeah, no. And then they phone in. We have people phoning in. So they can still, and that's a service we provide. So they're on their own, but they maybe need someone to look after their child while they have a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment, and they can still have the child with us, and we child mind for them so they can go to apartment. Because some people don't have families, and we have the referrals are 55% from Prince George and 45% from the rest of the province, most from the north, but we had one all the way from Creston. Are calling now.
Well, Maria, how can people find out more about Harmony House and the services you provide? What are some resources out there for them?
How they can, we have a website specifically for us. So that's not, it's not linked up with the societies. It's a bit a lone standing website, so I could people can, you know, do www.harmonyhousebc.com. That is, and then embedded in that is a YouTube. You know, you have to look a bit, but there's an arrow, YouTube arrow, and that allows, you know, when you look at that, that is tells a lot about the program, and you know, some witnesses, the people that have been there and their experiences. So that's a good resource to do. By this time, Harmony House has gone, you know, be known all over we have referrals from, the whole province. Just that they know our phone number as well. And, you know, so right now, the 4 years has done that. So I think a lot of the people that have cousins or whatnot, they say, oh, you know, I know you're struggling, but you can phone Harmony House and they'll help you. So it was the same at Central Interior Native Health. And they said, oh, yeah, you get really good care here. And, just come and, you know. So anyways, that's how it is. There's a phone number and you can work from the website. And the website also has an intake form. A brief intake form. We do more elaborate ones. We get connected. So a phone call does it, basically. But we haven't got PayPal set up yet. But you can write checks at this moment. But I'm going to set it up with PayPal pretty soon. So then this might make it easier to donate.
Maria Brower, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, but thank you. Thank you for having me.